Well, good morning again. If you are visiting or you don't know me well, that's about to change. You'll come in and know me better, man. As Charles Dickens wrote in The Scrooge. I'm very different than probably anybody you've ever had up here, so be patient with me. I'm not a good Presbyterian. I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church, so I get excited. Just so you know. I'm warning you. I'm just warning you. Okay. I just want to be fair and upfront. This is going to be a smidge different than what you're used to on a Sunday morning. So rejoice in the fact that I've not applied for the pastor position, so you won't have to deal with this every week. Okay? All right, let's open up a word of prayer as we head into the word this morning. Father God, again, we just ask more than anything, more than music, more than the fellowship, Jesus, we need you. More than anything else. And so, God, I just pray again that your spirit would just invade this place. You were faithful and met with us this morning in the first service, and God, we've got no reason to believe that you won't do the same here. Walk with us, Lord, because we can't do this by ourselves. Give us ears to hear. Help our hearts be tuned in and sensitive to your spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I use the New American Standard Version Bible, and I will admit that I am a New American Standard snob. It's the only one I read. It's probably not good, but it is the truth. And so, for those of you who are privileged to spend some time in Sunday school as a kid, I can remember this story. It wasn't the cool one where God took the fish and the loaves, because you always knew that there was going to be goldfish crackers when you got that story in Sunday school. But this is a John chapter 5. We're at the Pool of Bethesda. And so we're going to just read the first 10 verses. And we'll go from there, okay? All right, so if you have your word, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And they're on the screen there. After these things, which would be chapter 4, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there were in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. Porticos is just a fancy word for porch. It had five porches, what we would understand as porches. There's some of that seminary education coming out right there. Anyway, In those porches, there lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. Withered is the biblical word for paralyzed. So they were lame, they were blind, and they were paralyzed. Waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool, and he would stir up the water. What's interesting is that in the King James, it says he would trouble the water. Interesting that you need to dive into troubled water to get healed. Yeah, that's enough to make you a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Anyway, okay. So they stirred up the water, and then whoever was the first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in the water and was made well from whatever disease which they had and was afflicted. And a certain man there who had been there for 38 years in his sickness. So he wasn't there just a minute. He's been lame for 38 years. Now, was he 38 years old? I don't know. Did he have a motorcycle accident and get lame at 12? I don't know. I'm just saying. 38 years he's been lame. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said, "Do you wish to get well?" And the sick man answered to him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm trying to come, another one steps into the water before me." "Well, that stinks." And Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well, and he took up his pallet and he began to walk. Now it was on the Sabbath that this happened. So why is that a big deal? It's on the Sabbath. Well, because healing was against the law in first century, I need you to get out of your Western mind. I need you to go time travel back to first century Jerusalem. Healing on the Sabbath was a no-no. Jesus wasn't supposed to do that according to the law. So let's talk about this pool a little bit. In the ancient Near East, during this first century, healing shrines were as common, as I said in the first service, as Walmart's now. Now, they weren't all God's healing shrines, but culturally, every culture had their gods and their healing shrines. And almost all of them are connected to water in some way, because there was a ceremonial washing or a being made clean before you entered into the healing ritual of the god. So this is not a special, just for Israelites kind of deal. This pool would be understood for what it was by anybody living in the first century. And on those porches would lay the lame, the blind, the withered, the paralyzed, or anyone who wanted to be healed. And once a season, now whatever that season is, scholars are quite cranky about it. They don't necessarily know. But once the season, an angel of the Lord descends and stirs the water. And the first one in the pool gets to come out whole and healed. So if you're the second one in, you're just getting wet. You're not getting well. Okay? So this is what was happening. Now, why Jesus was in Jerusalem, again, there was a feast. Some scholars say, it has to be Feast of Tabernacle. Why else would Jesus? Others argue, if he's in Jerusalem, no, it has to be Passover. We don't know. And we could sit and guess with some of the brightest minds. And the bottom line is, it was a feast. Jesus was there. Now, this man does not live at this pool. He is carried to the pool during this season of the year. He can't walk. Now, I'm confused by the fact that his friends are carrying him to the pool, right? Or maybe his family. But then why do they sit him on the ground? Like, for God's sake, put him on the edge so that he could at least lean in and be the first in the pool when the angel starts stirring the waters. But when he's on the ground, he can't get himself up and in. And what scares me, folks, is that this happened for 38 years. Well, we have just defined insanity, repeating the same behavior and expecting a different result. Stick him on the edge, brother. Stick him on the edge. Let's think this through, right? And so Jesus asks him what I think is the weirdest question. Now, keep in mind, folks, Jesus doesn't ask questions because he's lacking knowledge. He knows all. So Jesus doesn't have to ask, dude, do you want to get well? Because Jesus was just checking to see if he was in the mood for a healing. Jesus knew. Jesus knew he had been there for 38 years. His predicament, his heart, his illness, this was not new news to Jesus. He got it. He's good. So why would you think he would ask him, do you want to get well? Because when he gets well, his life changes. See, Jesus wasn't really asking, do you want me to heal you? Because when we read it, that's what we first think. Because we have this idea of healing as just this physical thing that happens to our bodies. But healing is much broader than that. And today we need to look at it in a much broader, what does healing mean? Jesus wasn't saying, do you want to walk? Jesus was really saying, dude, you ready to get a job? Are you ready to live as a member of this society? Are you ready to get into the temple and worship me in spirit and truth? Are you ready to start being as kind to others as those others were kind to you? Are you ready to carry someone since you have spent 38 years being carried? You see, his life was going to completely change by this run-in with Jesus. Jesus wasn't asking, do you want to be healed? Jesus was asking if you want to be well. Change is really hard. In fact, I'm a painfully routinized person. I like my schedules, y'all. Like getting up at the same time, doing my thing. I enjoy skipping breakfast. I can't, but I enjoy it. I've got some of my own little routines and schedules that I prefer. And here's the deal. If I need to change the schedule, I can feign flexibility, but inside I'm going, ugh. Ugh. Right? Because you're messing with my groove. I had my morning planned, and I love people. People drive me crazy. Right? If we're honest, they can work your last nerve, people can. You love them. But man, sometimes you just get thankful for your own space, and it's probably why I'm still single today. I'd be like, mm-mm, you working my nerve, honey, you got to go. Anyway, I'm just saying that's probably why I'm single today. We don't like change. And so Jesus was really asking him, dude, do you want to change? He's obviously at the pool of Bethesda. He wants to be healed. So he wants healing. So Jesus isn't asking that question. And then I love his response because it makes me feel like there's a part of me in this story. He goes, sir, I want to be healed, but there's nobody to throw me in the pool. So here I am, you're 38, same pool, same spot, same issue, see you next year. There's almost the tone in him, and I don't want to imply disrespect, but Jesus, there's nobody here to do it for me. I can't do it myself, and my boys, well, they drop me here, but then they leave me, and they come back tonight and get me. Kind of like Adam when the Lord asked him in the garden. And he very quickly responded, Lord, it is that woman you gave me. I don't know what you were thinking. Put me asleep. You take me a rib from me. And then this is what, really, Jesus? Seriously. What were you saying? It's that woman. It's my friends, man. They can't get me up and over. This is why I'm not healed. I hear a little bit of not wanting to own what's really going on inside of him, maybe. And I would encourage you to read the whole chapter because later on, what's amazing about God is God heals him. Jesus heals him, and he doesn't even know who Jesus is. Because he picks up his mat, he does what Jesus tells him to do, rise, pick up your pallet, and go. So he picks up his mat, and he's cruising through town. Legs are good. He's probably doing a little funky jive. He's happy. He's walking. And the scribes and the Pharisees say, dude, why are you walking? And secondly, why are you carrying your mat? It's the Sabbath. And you're not allowed to carry your mat in first century Jerusalem on the Sabbath. So not only did Jesus heal him, Jesus told him to break a rule. What was Jesus thinking? And so the Pharisees say to him, who told you to get up? And who told you to get your mat? He's like, dude, I don't know. He just came. He said, rise. I got up. I did what he said. I picked up my mat and I bounced. And later on, Jesus sees him. And Jesus says to him, stop sinning. Or what happened to you previously will happen to you and even worse. And the man understood who he was. And he ran back and he told the scribes and the Pharisees, that man who healed me, told me to pick up my mat, His name is Jesus. So now the scribes and the Pharisees have much more ammunition to work their plot to send Jesus to crucify him. So here's a man who clearly does not know Jesus, who is healed by Jesus, who then snitches on Jesus. Isn't it interesting that Jesus knew all of that? And his love and his mercy chose to heal him anyway. What a mighty God we serve. So there's the backdrop for this service, or this message, is this man. I want us to watch a video, and then I want to bring this into the 21st century. I had to ask Mike to cut it there because it's actually a Guinness beer commercial and I didn't want to offend anyone. But YouTube it and see the rest. But when I first saw the commercial, I cried my full head off. To think that these well men who could play that rough and run ball were willing to confine themselves in a chair to connect with their friend and run ball with their friend. Blew my mind. I'm like, dang, I don't drink Guinness, but I might start now. When I first saw the commercial. Just for the record, I'm completely sober. But anyway. The challenge before us is, what are we going to change? Jesus isn't asking if we want to be healed. Do we want to be well? And wellness is going to mean change. In the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, verse 12, I don't know who the church secretary is, but we need to get on her because it's not listed correctly in the bulletin. This is a more typical way that we pray. Lord, keep me safe. Heal my body. Deal with my husband or my wife because I'm about had it. Right? My prayer list consists of desires and asks of God. And please hear me clearly say, that is not problematic. God wants to hear and answer our prayers. He's concerned about what we're concerned about. So please don't misunderstand me when I say this. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think most of the time our prayers sort of look like this. Father, give me. Now, we may not use the word give me. Father, give me. Give me safety. Give me protection. Give me healing. Give me blessing. Bless those. I mean, I'm not only just praying for myself, but I'm interceding for others. Give me. Give me, give me, give me. But how often do we have the courage to pray like this? make me. How often do we have the courage to say, Jesus, make me in the image of your crucified Son? We probably don't pray that way because it's incredibly uncomfortable. And I'm an American, doggone it, and I can afford some comfort. I mean, I had Cindy turn up the AC. Just so you know, because I was hot. And I'm preaching, so I should be comfortable, right? All right, I'm just saying. I'm comfortable. See, I'm comfortable with my crazy. Why? Because it's my crazy. I know it. I live in it every day. Now, I am a personal fan, and this will be obvious to even the most casual observer, of food. Man, guys, I love to eat. And I love to eat good food. And sometimes I don't even mind binging on bad food. So when I go before the Lord and I say, all right, Jesus, what's our next project? I didn't expect for him to go, you. No, let's try again. Different answer. I'll just keep coming, Lord. I'll just keep coming and we'll get this figured out, I'm sure, in time. No, Robin, the next project is you. No, really, come on, Lord. There's so many other things we could be spending our time with. Yep, there is, Robin, you. Do you want to be obedient to me? Well, yeah, Lord, that's kind of like, do you want to be healed? Yeah, I want to obey. But I need you to change the way you're eating. Then I want to go all Moses on him. No, send Aaron. I want to give every excuse in the book. Change the way you're eating. Really, Lord, do you really know what you're asking me? Food is my friend. Food and I have been through thick and thin together. It is a friend that I can get 24 hours a day. Burger King gives great counsel. I can have it my way. We all have our thing. Now, I don't know what your thing is. But do we want to be well? See, I don't like, y'all know that's my seat. Well, y'all don't know because you're not here in the first service. But if you come to the first service, that's my seat over there. Opa's sitting in it right now. I don't like change. I'm friendly. But that's where I sit every Sunday. Why? Because that's my seat. I'm just saying. So if you come to the first service, please don't sit in it. Because I would hate to have to ask you to leave. That's my seat. Those are my peeps over there. We keep an eye on each other. Right? And my mom especially keeps an eye on me. Because she's always afraid. She even now is quivering inside, saying to herself, dear God, please don't let her say anything I'm going to have to apologize for later. We have our routines. We like to be comfortable. But here's the deal, y'all. I'm a type 2 diabetic, and if my doctor said to me at my next visit, hey, Robin, we got a cure to heal your diabetes. Dude, I'm in. What is it? 3:00 in the morning, once you get up, I want you to do 3 laps around your backyard. Come in and I want you to do it for 5 days. On the 5th day, you'll be healed. Well, how many of y'all want to know that my alarm would be set at 1:30? Because I ain't missing my 2:00 run. But Jesus asked me, quit the job you've been in for the last 35 years and that you know. I know you're making the most money you've ever made, but I need you to stop. I need you to go to seminary. I need you to work part-time. And all of a sudden, I'm deaf. Excuse me? You want me? So then it's the prayer and it's the let's make a deal, right? Because this is not my idea here. I'm like, Jesus, I do not find this entertaining. I am almost 54 years old. This is not the time for midlife correction, right? And yet, my doctor told me to take 3 laps around my backyard at 2 a.m. I'm setting my alarm. Why do we do that? Well, I'm not sure it's God. Well, let me tell you something. He'll work on you. He like in your ear. Do it. Sometimes I've had to pray, Lord, make it so I can't stay. Because I'm so unwilling to let go. Because a job is what I know. It's what I do. In fact, sometimes it's who I am. Yeah, my need to be needed has been crushed. Jesus is like, I don't need you to be needed. I need you to follow me. Oh. Well, that seems relatively, not easy at all. Why? Well, because I often, in Bible study, I've told the ladies, I know we're supposed to picture a throne in our heart with Jesus sitting upon it. Most of the time, I'd like to picture a love seat so that there's room for both of us. And that's not how he works. I think it's a splendid idea, but Jesus didn't ask what I thought. And you know what makes it even worse, guys? Nowhere in Scripture can we find that Jesus ever called us to be comfortable. Faithful. Obedient. And when we fail, there is grace abounding. But he never called me to comfortable. Well, see, this is why we don't pray, make me, because it wrecks your life. I'm like, God, but Burger King is... has been such a faithful friend. And he goes, I'm faithful. I am true. I am what gets you through. I am your coping mechanism. My word is what you feed on. Well, that just ruined everything. I kind of like a Whopper with cheese. Medium fry, Dr. Pepper. Are we willing to change and be made into the image of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to set us aside so that Jesus can rise? For right now, the project is me and it's food. But for some of you, retail therapy is amazing. Right? I'm having such a bad day, I'm going to go to Walmart. And then we justify going to Walmart for our bad day because, well, it's Walmart. It's not like I went to Macy's or JCPenney's. It's not like I'm dropping a load. I'm going to Walmart. And all the while we're in Walmart, Jesus is cruising with us through the aisles going, but I'm here. I'm with you. You are not. Let me walk with you. And I'd be like, okay, y'all go shopping. I'm heading to Subway. But Jesus is at the Subway in the Walmart too. It's like amazing. Robin, you don't need to eat. I'm here. I've got you. Yeah, this is hard. But it's going to be okay. Grace Community Church, what stands in our way of desiring to be more like Jesus? What stands in our way of asking the hard question, what is it going to be like, Lord, make me in the image of your crucified Son? And here's the deal. When we pray that prayer, we have to understand it's not about me. I don't get any extra star points for being crucified in the image of Christ. I'm crucified in the image of Christ for the sake of others, for the gospel's sake. When I crucify myself, I'm putting myself in that wheelchair so that I can play basketball with my friends, man. For me, it's food. I trust food most days more than Jesus. I don't admit that proudly, but it is a reality that I'm working on. What do you trust more than Jesus? Your job? Your finances? Your spouse? Your community? Your shopping? Amazon Prime? Your stuff? Because your life can change just that quick. And all of a sudden, what's really important gets really clear. Do we want to be well? Or do we just want to be wet? Do we want to be well? Or do we just want to be wet? What is it in your lives? Again, we've already identified mine. What is it in your life that keeps you from being not fully reliant on Jesus Christ? Because that thing, it's got to go. If we are going to be the church that Jesus wants us to be in Falcon, in our families, in this community, in the world, do we want to be well, or do we just want to be wet? Jesus is calling.